Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to try to stitch all of these things we've been talking about together. And so I apologize. We're still making some moves around in the studio here. So there may be a little bit of background noise or humming, and apologize if you have acute hearing and can actually pick up on these nuances and details. So anyway, let's try to move forward. What we want to do is stitch together these concepts of property, these concepts that the framers had regarding liberty and so forth. And in so doing, we can start, you know, gradually moving forward to give you, this foundation in how they built this hybrid constitutional republic. And so it's a hybrid constitutional republic because we are not a federation. But I'll get into all of that. The one thing that you need to know right now is this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, I am probably the, you know, not the most polished. I don't want to sit down and try to make money here. I hope that you understand the authenticity, the sincerity, that I, as a person, is more of a unifier, maybe more of a leader. I'm not here to manage an agenda. I am not here to try to, you know, get you to buy into, you know, the products that we sell. I will say this, that we don't sell products. We actually endorse products. And I'm not somebody that charges $1 million like some entertainers to endorse their product, like LifeLock and all these other little products that you hear on these other shows. The products that I will actually endorse are products that I actually endorse, and I'm not making a penny off of it. Just so you understand, we need money, we need help, but these organizations, they're not rich. They're startups just like me. And they, you know, they're offering an awesome product, and they're getting you away from the progressive world of where you can buy, you know, the rest of the crap. Like, you know, as we advertise for AdLocal, you can tell that they're competing with a lot of other organizations. And most all of those organizations, those big ones, Constant Contact and so forth, go look them up. I mean, they are deplatforming, or they are deliberately, you know, impacting conservatives. I had a friend that was using, I think it was either Constant Contact or MailChimp, I forget which, but they were actually directly impacted because right before the election, a month before the election, they were shut down. All of a sudden, their email services weren't working, and they had to try to fight, and then they realized that this was a deliberate attempt to try to silence them in engaging their contact list, if you know what I mean. So anyway, what we want to do is we want to provide you with the insights and the information that will really help you understand, you know, what types of products are out there. Just like one of the products we're going to be bringing forward is a security group. These guys are retired military. They're also former law enforcement, first responders, and so forth. And so these guys are actually offering, and they're trying to do it for free. They want to come out. If you want to have a big rally, they want to be able to support you. And so they need, let's just say, donations. I don't know if they have a GoFundMe or what, but we're going to be creating some advertisements for them in the next couple of weeks, as soon as I get some sanity in this studio. Anyway, so let's just kind of plow forward. As you know, we are very thankful for your contributions in listening, because we know that by listening, you're actually helping get the message out, because I'm hoping that you are a part of our listener drive in trying to get like-minded people to understand there's actually a solution. And I want to tell you that this week with the NLA, I haven't even mentioned this yet, but this week with the NLA, John Durash basically told his entire organization to start getting involved with Republic Review so that we can start, you know, getting people in all of these different states engaged. So I will just say this, if you're not, we're going to be bringing more of the NLA leadership on to talk about what they're doing in their local state. And when I say leadership, I mean local leaders, state leaders, county leaders, and what they do and how they're trying to make an impact. And all you've got to do, all you have to do is get involved. All you've got to do is start learning what you need to do. Some people, you know, it's like dancing. If you don't know the steps, then you don't want to get out on the floor. But that's okay. You're not going to be made a fool of, and we're here to help. We're not from the government, and I hope you really understand that. So one of the couple things I want to repeat, because I think these are really good bites. First off, you have a birthright to liberty, and that birthright to liberty actually is something that, well, as you know, it is God-given. I mean, there was this inalienable rights that were bestowed upon you that are recognized here in this country. And so with your birthright comes responsibilities and accountability. And so we've constantly asked you to kind of look into your role in petitioning your government in redressing of grievances. Make them tell you why they're violating the law. Get involved and get smart on common law grand juries so that you can start pressuring local common law grand juries to get organized. If there is no militia in your organization, or I should say in your county, then get with people to, you know, start creating, and if you want to call it an unorganized, organized militia, then at least start getting started. We can start pointing you. If you want to know how to do these things, I can point you to the subject matter experts, and they can help you get started. One of the things I want you to think about, because we're actually engaging in this war, the enemy has revealed himself. As far as I'm concerned, we're fighting Satan. We're fighting Lucifer. If you want to consider the enemy being the global progressives who are doing his bidding, whoever you see the enemy to be, we are fighting an enemy. And when we go and engage them on their terms, what are their terms? Going into their court system, going into their processes, fighting them on their ground. Every time we do that, we're going to lose, because they have stacked against us all sorts of advantages, technicalities and terms and things that are not within the Constitution. The way we're going to win is when we unite on the Constitution and we get our sovereigns, our state legislators, to take a stand on the Constitution. It's literally, all they have to do is assert that they are the sovereigns over this Constitution for the people of this great state of, and you fill in the blank, whatever your state is. And in so doing, they can then just tell the government, with the government, well, you've got to sue us. You've got to go to the Supreme Court. No, there's no jurisdiction. And this is why we kind of go through these things. And so we're going to kind of lay out the map of what we're going to go through so that you can see some of the details. And you're going to want to tune in. We're going to get into the content of the tool bag, the weapons that you're going to need to use against this enemy. Again, if we are going to put the Constitution first, then we have to put it above party and so forth. The other thing I will tell you, if you haven't started doing so, you need to start getting involved in what we call the party, the local party, the Republican Party, the Constitution Party. Get involved with both of those. And as a matter of fact, if you can, join both. If the Republican Party requires you to have exclusivity with them only, then I would I'd start to challenge that, to say, you know, why are you doing this? But at least get involved with the Constitution Party so that you can understand, because what we want you to do is we want you to use the training materials that the Constitution Party is going to have and what the NLA has. We're going to start marrying all this stuff up, because one of the things we don't want is we do not want mixed messages between, oh, well, this says this and this says that. We need to be very consistent so that you are very concise and consistent in your messaging and teaching people about the Constitution. Okay? So what else are we going to talk about? So what we want to kind of summarize is this concept of liberty, right? As you know, this liberty concept is something that, you know, GR has kind of put out there into, you know, reality for you by this basic definition. This is probably the best way I can define liberty. Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis between the fundamental principles of liberty, free agency, responsibility, and accountability. Those are the three principles. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, well, I'm going to have to finish this when we get back after the break. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after these two promos. But just remember that we're here to help, and we are not from the government. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so let me place a little context to liberty. Liberty is not just freedom. If freedom was the only thing, then basically liberty would be the same thing as anarchy. Liberty is an organized structure of a balance of three, like I said, three fundamental principles. This is why I start this thing off with: a civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis, the interdependency of the three fundamental principles of liberty: free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, liberty then can act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual well-being, greater productivity, improved health, and development of wealth. Because when you realize you're responsible for something, it changes your behavior because you start behaving responsibly. And then when something happens and you realize that your behavior wasn't as responsible as it should have been, then guess what? Then you, if you are a liberty-minded person, you hold yourself accountable. You know, if there's a ticket that comes with speeding, then you pay that ticket. You don't try to get out of it. You just acknowledge, I made a mistake. We all make mistakes. And as a matter of fact, I think we've got a great system that has a lot of, I don't want to say mercy, but I think it's a just system. And when you start making big decisions that, you know, kind of create big consequences, like you make the decision to get drunk behind the wheel, then, you know, there's some big consequences that come with some of those things. And they're just not worth it. They're not worth risking your liberty. Because I'll tell you, when you're sitting in jail after you're arrested, ask yourself, how well is free agency responsibility working for you now? It's not. You don't have that that symbiosis, that interdependency. You've let yourself down by not being responsible. This is why we kind of go into the principles of natural law. But before we even do that, what we want to do is we want to put context to property. What is your property, really? It's not just the nice watch you have. It's not just that home you own. It's not just all of the stuff that you have. Those are only the tangible physical property pieces that you have. But really, your most precious property are your ideas. I mean, when you actually go out and you create an idea, that we call that intellectual property, there are also your fundamental rights. And when you have a right to speech and religious expression and those types of things, and the reason we're going through these types of things is just look what's going on. Your property, your ability to assemble, your ability to religiously worship, your ability to do things are actually being infringed upon. Your inalienable rights, your property is being stolen. Let's put it into that context. How do you quantify, you know, the damages that you're incurring? Not being able to go to church and worship, not being able to, you know, actually go to work and make money. It is one thing when society creates a law that basically says, if you're sick, if you've been in contact with somebody, and as much as I don't like these contact tracings and those types of things, because they're very intrusive, I do believe that it does fall under government's context to be able to do those things. The question is, what kind of data are they putting into that stuff? And as far as I'm concerned, we the people should have full access and full review of every. There should not be any secret data held and managed by your state and or your local and or your city and or your sheriff. And believe me, I don't live in Spokane County, but I know people that do live in Spokane County, and my friends that actually live there, they're scared to death of their sheriff because he has files on law-abiding citizens because they're involved in the Constitution. This is unacceptable. Having a secret government doing that type of thing, that is a tyrannical government and a despotic government at that. So, as we've explained the context of liberty and laws, we kind of gave you the fundamental basis for natural law. Natural law are the laws that basically create harmony with God's laws. Let me be clear. You know, if you go to the history of civilization type of class, you're going to learn that it was the Romans that created this concept of several law. Several law is this concept of things like property, where, you know, there is an ownership to property. And they're giving the Romans the credit of creating this legal system. That is civil law. If you actually go further back, you will find that property was defined a long time ago by God to Moses. Thou shalt not steal. That clearly delineates that there is this concept of individual property. And so when you look at the, you know, God's laws, you can kind of see them in a much higher scope of how they affect society, from both stealing, bearing false witness, you know, killing, and those types of things. Those laws were universal, and they're universally bad. There's no society that's going to succeed that believes that murder is okay or stealing property is okay, because everything's up for grabs. That's mayhem. Every civil society. This is why I've gone through other historical perspectives. Even Ludwig von Mises, or however you pronounce his name, even he points out that every society that has allowed, you know, these concepts of homosexuality and all these perversions. And here's the funny thing. Most people don't know this, but Ludwig von Mises, he was, let's just say, not atheist, but he was agnostic. He didn't necessarily believe, because he wasn't brought up that way. But after traveling to America and after seeing all the different systems, and why he chose to live in America was pretty simple. He said that America has the higher laws and is a much freer society because of them. Because we actually have natural law or God's law basically entwined with all of our... And when people go, well, where is God's law? God's law is delineated based on the enumerated powers in our Constitution, because people can't see it. Well, is there any reference to God in the Constitution? Absolutely. What year was it done? It was done in the year of our Lord. How can you miss that? Anyway, the whole point, though, with this natural law and how they basically stitched together a Constitution that only gave government the necessities and protected and preserved those individual liberties and individual sovereignty aspects that you, the sovereigns, we the people, as well as our delegated sovereigns, had the ability to do. So then we go through the scale of liberty, and I'm hoping that in the last episode you really got the concept that anybody that believes in communism, subjugation, these people out there protesting, they have zero regard for your life. They have zero regard for any property. They don't even care to own it. They believe it's everybody's anyway. It's not yours. You don't deserve it. And they're willing to destroy anything, like burning fires. They're willing to do whatever it takes because the ends justify the means. But the people on the other side, they are held and constrained by law. They're held and constrained to make sure that they don't violate anybody else's rights. Those who are ensconced in individual liberty on the scale of liberty, on that far spectrum, the pure side of liberty, you have to choose for yourself. I can't make you see things a certain way. And here's our problem, folks. We actually believe that those people on the other end are actually like us. When you hear this term, well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. Don't believe it. If you're saying it, you're making a huge mistake. Because those people on the far end of that scale of liberty, this is how they think. Well, I haven't been able to beat you yet, but when I do, I will bury you. If I can get away with it, I will cause you destruction and harm. That's what they think. But they don't say that. And so what they say is, well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree. if they haven't been able to destroy your argument. And so, and they'll wait until they can figure out what to do and how to do it. You never won the argument. And if you ever use that concept with somebody that is a subjugate, somebody that believes in communism, somebody that believes people must be compelled to do good, as far as I'm concerned, those people are evil. And this is the workings of Satan. Anyway, so then we got into how this, you know, this natural law and the scale of liberty kind of built into this concept, this beautiful concept called American Enlightenment. It wasn't just American Enlightenment. It was Enlightenment. And so we want to get into kind of summarizing Enlightenment so that we can kind of get ready to move into this concept of the Declaration of Independence. We'll be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. You know I can catch it right down to the second, but let's go and we'll be right back. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Yeah, so going into break, as you can tell, over the past few episodes, I've really cut it close. And so it's really hard to try to close out and then 2 minutes later, come back and try to pick everything up the way it was. And why? I actually could change the format of the show. And the reason I don't is because what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a model that will take Red State, and so that you, in your town, in your area, there are AM radio stations that are broadcasting. And what we would like to do is we would like to actually have you with, maybe in the next year or so, when we're finally in a position where we've got all of Red State Talk Radio aligned in doing this, or whatever the platform is we're going to be on, as if we have to move or what have you. But bottom line, what we want is you to be able to just go and say, why don't you, you know, pull in these guys and just air these guys, and then you'll get the time you need to run your news at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, and they'll give you the little segments and to have us talk to your radio station, because we believe we're going to give you the lineup necessary so that you can actually listen 24/7 to the Reclaiming the Republic Network and be able to get the what we'll say is the necessary information so that we can all kind of keep everybody informed. How great would that be? The revolution is actually being aired and broadcasted in as many different mediums as possible. Anyway, so American Enlightenment actually just didn't start on its own. The Enlightenment era began in Western society. And if you really look at it, Enlightenment really began at the cradle of civilization, Greece, where they started challenging some paradigms. Now, some things, like things that Aristotle did when creating some laws, you know, in scientific laws, he was wrong. And Newton actually proved him wrong. But what caused Newton to prove him wrong was the concept of Enlightenment. If you understand Enlightenment, Enlightenment is the ability of challenging the narrative. And so if you look at academia, the reason why society was becoming more and more enlightened because academia, for the most part, was free, especially as we became more and more enlightened. It became freer and freer and freer, and that was really just shaking off the narratives or the managements of narratives and the control of the narrative. You know, sure, of course, the Catholic Church, which started a lot of the education and so forth, they definitely controlled, and as a matter of fact, they banished certain books. I forget, Dante, there was a work that Dante did, or I don't know if Dante was I think he was an author back in the 10th century, 11th century, something like that. Anyway, there were books that were actually banned, and I think it was the Demarchia or something like that. And I believe his book was the concept of creating a single world religion, a single world government. And so imagine that. I mean, can you fathom the concept of a single world government and how evil that would be? Well, those ideas were actually biblical as well. You have to remember that by the time Dante wrote his works, he didn't even have access to all the Bible, you know, all of these scriptures and so forth. The Bible that you know didn't even become, what do they call that, canonized. It wasn't galvanized into a form of text until when? Until the 1500s or so. And some of the things that caused these things to be done, that the Bible to be printed, and that these concepts to be, the freedom of the press, all of these things were things that were entering into enlightenment and improving society and making society better, holding people honestly and accountable to, hey, this is wrong. And there you go. And so in America, our enlightenment was really based on Western society enlightenment. The difference between America and Europe at the same point in time, Europe started going secular. And when I say secular, on the new term or the new progressive concept of godlessness. If it is religion, it is bad. In America, when America said we were going to go secular, it wasn't godlessness. As a matter of fact, it was non-denominational. They didn't go and shut down churches, but that's what started happening in the 17th, or I should say the 18th century, the late 1700s, with the French Revolution. I mean, they were literally killing the leaderships of the churches. They were shutting down churches. They were going after all these different, and if keep in mind, they didn't have competition in religion in France and in England and so forth because they were state-owned and controlled. As a matter of fact, it was the church that coronated the crowns. There was this evil, incestuous relationship between the church and the monarchies. And so those types of things had to fall. And in so doing, what the people did was they threw caution into the wind and they actually abandoned the foundations of a civil society. This is why Europe started going into a degenerate mode, and people, you know, started becoming, let's just say, callous. They started becoming judgmental and all sorts of things, because they weren't, all of these things, callousness of, you know, a remove of compassion, the understanding how to be just, mercy, and those types of things, those basic tenets of Christianity were being thrown into the wind. And this is why when America continued to go down the path of enlightenment, Europe started getting left behind. And it didn't take long after the American, you know, inventions of constitutions and so forth, where America really began to prosper. And there's all sorts of really good books out there that you can read that will actually help you understand how America actually, with the free market, because all of these other monarchies, they didn't have a free market. They had a mercantile system where the government controlled everything. Well, we used to have a free market, but now we have a mercantile system. We do not have a free market. The government controls every aspect, who gets to play and who can't play. And, oh, there's costs and licenses and all of these types of things. That is the antithesis of a nation of liberty. Anyway, so the American Enlightenment was, you know, really starting to grow and challenging, you know, these controls of government and so forth. So by the time we hit the Declaration of Independence, and the reason we hit the Declaration of Independence really had everything to do with the fact that they started taxing Americans without any representation. And that was a fundamental right of a Britishman. And so when the colonies started complaining and making pleas to King George, hey, we're British citizens here. You know, we have the right for representation. We should be represented in Parliament. They laughed at them. And they refused to do anything. And they basically said, you're a second-class citizens, and you always will be. And, you know, if you understand anything about the pride and the attitude of Britain in those days, I mean, the bluer your line is, your heritage, the more important you are. This is why they had two houses in their legislative body, one for the Commons, the House of Commons, and then the House of Lords. Well, what's the difference? They're both representatives of the people. Oh, but the House of Lords, like the Senate, these are the people that are the aristocracy, that have the money, the control, and they have the clout. This is why they had the most power in Parliament. Now, the people had their representation, but even as the point of time when the American Revolution was beginning, Jefferson and John Adams were in England, and they were actually, while they were working on, because the Revolutionary War, and at this point in time, they were working on a treaty with Britain to basically, you know, end the Revolutionary War. And they decided to take a break. And this is a very interesting story that you need to understand, that when John Adams and Jefferson went out in on this walk. They went on this tour of the countryside, and they actually went to the crossroads, the town, where the Glorious Revolution occurred. And they go, oh, wow, this is it. This is the cradle of British Bill of Rights. And at that point in time, because America was being oppressed, they started basically lecturing and castigating and just decrying, you know, how Britain has turned its back on these fundamental rights that they no longer are enjoying. Because why? Because the Constitution that Britain had general powers, and the king was literally the sovereign over all things when it came to government. And so the point was that a century before, they all fought and people died to be able to obtain these rights and establish these rights against the British crown, and all for naught. Well, so with that, great point to end. Now I don't have to necessarily bleed into the very last second. We will be right back and getting into a little bit more on the Declaration of Independence, then the Articles of Confederation. We're kind of building everything up to how these guys innovated. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let me kind of finish up this thought on the Declaration of Independence. So the Declaration of Independence, my friend, was really more about representation and the sovereigns and so forth. And so when you look at what was going on, America didn't want to go to war. These men loved being British citizens. They loved everything about the British government, the Bill of Rights, and you know how it was just a more moral government than France, even though France was supposedly anti-slavery. You know, they didn't have any slavery in France, but all of its colonies were practicing slavery. I mean, they recognized the hypocrisy. And as a matter of fact, when Britain started, and actually when most of these colonies began, slavery was not instituted. What was happening was personal servitude. People were coming to America and they were working 7 years or what have you, biblical 7 years, so that once they worked off their debt for their passage to come to America, they were given a lot of property. Now, one state, Georgia, was a penal colony. What they did was they gave these people that had, they weren't the murderers. These were guys that stole or embezzled, you know, not necessarily the real bad guys, but they were people that were incarcerated that said, you know what, we need a southern state. And why was Georgia created in this enlightened society? Georgia was created as a buffer zone between Spain and the rest of the colonies. And so when the personal servitude was worked off, people didn't get hundreds of acres. They were limited to like 10 acres. Other than, you know, the other lords, they had large properties. But those who were working off their they're commuting their sentence as personal servitude with this opportunity, this great opportunity to have land and a new start in the new world. Well, you know, a lot of them took up on that. Well, anyway, so each of the states had very desperate founding and very different intents of, you know, what their focuses were, both economically, religiously, and so forth. Of course, everybody knows the story about the Puritans. As we start moving towards Thanksgiving, everybody looks at the old heritage of socialism and the failure of socialism with the first Thanksgiving. Actually, the very first Thanksgiving in America was in Virginia. And I believe even in those days, they were trying communal socialism or communal type of living and communal type of standards. And so everywhere where we have tried to utilize socialism, it has always failed. More people get hurt and more people die because of it. So as they were really getting these taxes, these abominable taxes that were coming from Britain, they were saying, hey, you know, if you're going to tax us and you're going to do this to us, then we have a right to representation. So the Stamp Act and all these different acts that that Britain was invoking upon them, do you want to know how much the tax was? 0.1% on tea that caused the disruption of tea. 0.1% on tea. And so when you really start looking at the framers and how these men, you know, on the basis of principle, they were not going to allow Britain to charge them 0.1% for tea and all these stamps and all these other things that they started to charge for without that's all they wanted was representation. They didn't mind the taxes. They weren't really that bad. Some of the things that started getting really bad was the quartering. British troops would come and they would kick you out of your home. Well, this is a nice home. We'll use this for our quarters. And so they literally started taking over people's private property. There were as things started ratcheting up and as the colonies started pushing back, Britain became very heavy-handed. And they started going in and confiscating things. And they started basically trumping up charges. And one of the things that they did was that the people who were in charge of the military and the enforcement, the lawyers or the judges or whomever, I forget who it was, but those people, the magistrates, when they confiscated, you know, property, it was in their best interest to rule against you because they got a piece of the sale of that property. When they, you know, sold it off, auctioned it off, or what have you, they got a piece of the action. So there was an injustice in so many different ways that were starting to get so heavy-handed, it just forced. And as a matter of fact, George Washington really was the last person to get on board. And then when he got on board with the American Revolution, I think for the most part it was done. Because then they found that they had a military leader that could go and, you know, wage a campaign. And they thought it would be pretty simple. They didn't think that Britain was going to, you know, because if you really look at it, what Britain was doing was going to make Britain look bad. So they felt, well, you know, we think we're going to win the PR war here, and they didn't. So once the Declaration of Independence initiated the war, well, what happened with that document? There's a lot of people that will tell you that the Declaration of Independence became law. It became the government. Actually, it didn't. It was an epoch. It was a declaration. It was a point in time to declare these fundamental facts. But it didn't create law. And so what the colonists had to do, as soon as they actually signed this Declaration of Independence, they had to get organized. So they created the Articles of Confederation. And in so doing, they basically created a very inept government. Now, here's the one thing I want to point out, and you need to understand this, is that the Declaration of Independence, though it is very inspiring, I mean, you can tell that there was this inspiration involved. And the source of the Declaration of Independence really came from the, what I'll say is the the work of Thomas Jefferson. The concept that we were all created equal is a concept that actually came from a mulatto case that Thomas Jefferson actually defended a mulatto in the 31st birthday for this person's independence. Because if you were mulatto, half black, half white, then the first half of your life, which was 31 years, that's what they dictated for the average life expectancy. So you had to be a slave for your first 31 years, and then the second 31 years, you were supposed to be freed. Well, the slave master didn't free this person, so this person said, well, I want to sue. And Thomas Jefferson took it, and he was the one that argued under the concept of natural law that we're all born equal and so forth. And so a lot of the stuff that came into this Declaration of Independence were ideas, premises, and theories that were already working. As a matter of fact, that concept that we were all created free was something that was actually embraced by George Mason, who actually used that, I believe, in the Virginia Constitution prior to the U.S. Constitution. Anyway, so the Declaration of Independence, it may have actually been before the Declaration of Independence in the Virginia Constitution. Nevertheless, so the Declaration of Independence was definitely inspired, but there was never a claim by Jefferson, Adams, and Benjamin Franklin, the three men that worked on it, that this was the divine hand of providence. It's not like at any point in time they prayed constantly to work on this document. The same thing with the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation was a lot of work. But there was no concerted effort to seek the divine hand of providence's inspiration to guide them in what they needed to do and how they did it, which is why it was really a defunct government. It had problems. So, as you understand, the Articles of Confederation created this new, Continental Congress and this new form of government, and it was disheveled somewhat, and it was inept. Absolutely, it had problems. Here's the interesting thing, because we don't have much time before the show's over. I got maybe a minute here, a minute and a half. And so one thing I wanted to kind of point out is if you look at the Articles of Confederation, you're looking at 13 articles. When these men pulled together and when they started praying and seeking inspiration from the divine hand of providence, and this is why there's a huge difference between the Constitution and the Articles of Confederation and the Declaration. The Constitution was the consummate. It basically incorporated everything necessary to protect our inalienable rights, as well as to create a limited government with protections so that we had all these different, levels of cross checks and balances and separations of powers and all of these things. So as we look at the Constitution, it went from 13 articles in the Confederation to 6. The Constitution, basically, what the Lord did was he took all these men's work and he basically built the government and created all of the powers and delegated the powers and everything necessary to the government in 6 articles. The 7th, now here's the irony, friends. The 7th, he rested the power and sanctified the power upon the states and the people of the states. So therefore, if you look at the DNA, it's just almost like the creation of the world. The 6 days, and on the 7th, he rested. And in the Constitution, he rested all powers upon the states. I want you to think about that. And when we come back, we'll wrap up more on the Constitution and how it was created in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.